From our gospel reading, the Jews said to Jesus, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" The Jews have a lot of questions. They're filled with questions. They're a very religious people, and they're searching for the Messiah. But they've seen enough of this Jesus to conclude that he was not it. And so they pelt him with question after question to try to trap him. They ask, "Do you have a demon? Do you believe that you're greater than our father Abraham? Just who do you make yourself out to be?" They ask, "How have you seen Abraham? You're not even 50 years old." They have many questions, and Jesus faithfully and patiently, he answers all of them. "I don't have a demon," he says. "I honor my Father. I don't seek my own glory. If anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Your father, Abraham, rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and he was glad. And truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." The Jews asked all these questions, but they didn't want to hear his answers. They pick up stones to try to kill him. Well, Americans today have a lot of questions too. But they're not very religious ones, I don't think. Not like the Jews' questions in our text today. Americans, they seem to be a very sensitive people, maybe not religious. They're not very concerned with this Jesus or the church or anything involving words like sin or obedience to God or faith in Jesus. But Americans do have questions, and they are searching for answers. Everyone has questions. Americans seem more occupied with finding answers to societal problems, personal issues that they experience. Google recently reported the most common questions that's asked on its site. Americans ask Google 110,000 times every month, "What's the meaning of life? How can I be happy? How do I love myself?" And tragically, the question, "How do I kill myself?" is asked 74,000 times every month in our country. Americans, like the Jews, have a lot of questions. My question for you this morning is, what are your questions? What have you been asking lately? One big question or a lot of small little questions? What's the question that's been daunting you? Is it of a religious nature, a spiritual nature, or is it a societal problem? Or is it of a more personal family issue? What question is it that you've been asking? A recent study out of the UK found that mothers are the most quizzed people on the planet. On average, the stay-at-home mom is asked a question every 2 minutes and 36 seconds, around 300 questions a day. That's around 105,120 questions per year per child. The study found that the most curious questioners are girls at the age of 4 years old. If you want a breather from the questions, have a boy and wait till he's 9. That's when they stop asking. And you probably won't hear another one until they move into their own house and something breaks. We all have questions. Now, we could take a look at the questions that Americans are asking and conclude right off the bat that their questions are absurd. That people are asking the wrong questions. They're asking what they should not be asking. That they should be concerned with other, more meaningful and deeper questions than questions like, "How can I be happy?" They should be asking things like, "What does the Lord want me to do?" Most devotions and studies that I read on this text, even the sermons posted on YouTube I watch, almost all of them take this text and this direction and eventually arrive at this point, most of them did, that people today are asking the wrong questions. And that our society is filled with people who are all asking the wrong questions, and that we need to stop asking these types of questions. They're sinful. So stop it. But I think the problem goes deeper than that. Problem isn't the questions that we're asking. Questions are good. As a pastor, I want my confirmands to ask me questions in class. I devote the first 5 or 10 minutes of the class for their questions. As a father, I want my children to ask me questions, no matter how silly they may sound. The problem isn't in asking questions. The problem is in who we ask. Who do we go to for the answer to our questions? Any questions, all questions are good questions if you ask the right person. Even how can I be happy? Well, are you asking yourself or are you asking the Lord? Because depending on who you ask, you're going to get two very different answers. One's going to involve laughter and good times, and the other might involve a cross and suffering. What does the Lord want me to do? Good question if you're asking the Lord. Bad question if you're asking anyone other than the Lord. The Lord gave us minds and souls and hearts to seek, to search, to find, to discover. Good. But where are we searching for the answer? Where do we seek? Where do we discover? Where is it that I place my trust? Where is it that I'm tuning my ears, placing my restless heart, and finding the truth to my questions? Google? No. Google's not your mother. Neither is Siri or Alexa, unless your mom's name is Alexa or Siri. Google is good at finding a restaurant near you, but it is very bad at finding what the Lord would desire for you to do. We know that all too well. But it doesn't mean that any of us hears the Lord today in a still, calm whisper through the myriad of voices that surround us seeking to answer the deep questions of your soul. Where do you run for your answers? You run to social media sites. You run to your friends, your parents, your children, your boss, and perhaps the greatest and most loud voice of all, your own, seeking answers from all these places. In the history of civilization, we have never had more places that we could run to for answers than right now. But they will all eventually run short. There's only one place that we can go to find answers for the deepest, most troubling questions of our souls. To the one who created you. Go to him. Go to the one who loved you so much that he laid down his life for you on a cross for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Go to the one who is risen from the dead and for whom our hearts are restless until they rest in him. Go to Jesus with all your questions and your soul's complaint and your greatest needs and your heart's desires. Go to him and him alone and listen to his word. For Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. He is the great I am, the Lord of heaven and earth, and he is your Savior and Redeemer. You can go to so many voices today, but there is only one voice that would matter at the end of the day, because he's the one who formed you. He's the one who knitted you together in your own mother's womb, who made you and sought you, who redeemed you like a lost sheep. He is the good shepherd, and he has promised to be with you always. And his voice is clear, and his words are true. They are found in the sacred scriptures. So read them, learn them, mark them, and inwardly digest them. And by so doing, may the Holy Spirit give you ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart that understands the Lord's answers, so that you may keep his word and treasure it in your hearts and walk according to his word above all other voices. Even if a Pharisee or a pastor or some religious leader would tell you otherwise, listen to Jesus. Even when technology or Google or the entire world would teach you otherwise, listen to Jesus. And even if your own father or mother were to tell you something contrary to the clear word of Jesus, you listen, we listen to Jesus, because he is the only one who lives to hear our soul's complaint, and he will answer it faithfully and patiently in his own time and in his own way. Amen.